Pfizer, think small.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Pfizer, the world's largest drug company, has gobbled up a tiny British biotech firm called PowerMed. Analysts think it might be a shrewd move because a small company is developing a new kind of vaccine. From the health desk at WGBH, Helen Palmer has more.
PowderMed's developed a novel kind of vaccine. Tiny fragments of, say, flu DNA are attached to gold nanoparticles and injected through the skin. Analysts say this is a promising investment for Pfizer. Andrew Kasper's with The Pink Sheet, a pharmaceutical newsletter.
If you're Pfizer and you have a whole lot of cash on hand, as they do, I think it makes a lot of sense to invest in technologies and in basic platforms like PowderMed has.
Kasper says Pfizer has few new drugs in development and PowderMed's technology could help fill the gap. For example, if a pandemic flu broke out, this technology could deliver plenty of vaccine much faster than traditional methods. Kasper says traditional vaccines sell for $30 or $40. Newer vaccines like Merck's Gardasil for cervical cancer cost hundreds of dollars and are much more profitable. The companies won't say how much Pfizer paid for PowderMed. Britain's Financial Times reckoned it was a relatively modest $400 million. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
Ford is having second thoughts. The automaker is recalling 145,000 vehicles in the U.S. About 6,000 are Escape hybrid SUVs with drivetrain shafts that could break. A brake could make the vehicle move even when it's in park. The rest of the cars recalled have bad latches that could freeze in the cold. That might cause the doors to open when the car is moving. These days, farmers rely on federal subsidies and grants to get by. But a new study says small and medium-sized farms are often left out in the cold. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
The nonprofit Center for Rural Affairs looked at four grant programs run by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The Initiative for Future Agriculture and Food Systems, for example, was set up in part to promote small and medium-sized dairies and farms. Study co-author John Bailey says that hasn't happened.
The 2 years we looked at, there was about $500 million dedicated to these four programs, and we only found about 5% of the projects were beneficial to small and mid-sized and beginning farmers and ranchers.
Others say the study is misleading. Daniel Sumner with UC Davis recently received a grant from one of the programs to study the economics of obesity.
Those grants may not have the word small farm in the title, but they're really affecting all of agriculture.
But without more efforts to help family farms and those just starting out, the study warns the mid-sized farm could all but disappear. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
The spigot is getting tighter. OPEC's president announced today that the oil cartel will cut daily output by 1 million barrels. He says a reduction would start at the end of the month. Meanwhile, oil prices are at an eight-month low. They're dropped 11 cents to under $59 a barrel. The Dow broke another record yesterday, the fourth in the past six trading days. The Dow rose 9 points to 11,867. The Nasdaq was up 3 points at 2315, and the S&P eased up 2 points to 1353. And this is Marketplace. Around the country this morning, in Southern California, Disney opens a high-end apparel store in Anaheim today. It will feature the couture line Disney started in 2004, as well as other fashion designers. Logo T-shirts will go for about $75. Jeans, about $200. A Chicago neighborhood is saying no thanks to Blockbuster and Barnes & Noble. It's not just those stores in particular. The neighborhood of Andersonville wants to ban all chain stores. Right now, it has a Starbucks and a UPS store, but its thriving independent businesses also attract shoppers from other parts of Chicago. The decision to accept or reject the ban is up to city council. And in Miami, Magic Johnson is staking a claim in Little Havana. The investment fund headed by the basketball legend has bought a major share of a planned condo development. That project will include office and retail space. The 395 units are aimed at middle-income Miami residents. You're listening to American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fellows. Millions of businesses worldwide choose Fellows shredders for their shredding needs. Fellows, the bulldog of shredders. More at Fellows.com. By Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management's Building Profit Through Building People, a new book on HR contributions to business success. SHRM.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Lebanon's economy is slowly coming back to life after the Israeli blockade and weeks of bombing. But some industries, like tourism, are taking a long while to recover. The result is a ripple effect in other areas of the economy. One of those is the country's ancient winemaking business. Ben Gilbert took a trip to Lebanon's Bekaa Valley to see how the vineyards were faring.
There are many stories of misfortune in the wake of the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah, but in the Bekaa Valley in eastern Lebanon, vintners not only had to endure Israeli bombshells, they had to deal with Mother Nature's immovable timetable. At Chateau Cassara Winery, the fighting was escalating just as the grapes were maturing. The window to harvest is narrow, so the managers had some tough decisions to make.
We intended to pick up the grapes even under the bombs.
Really?
Yes, we don't have another choice. The whole harvest is gone if we don't do that.
Rania Chamas, the public relations director at Cassara, says wine pickers waited for the fighting to stop and then quickly went to work. Like the real estate business, location is everything for vineyards. Cassara spreads out over 700 acres that produce 18 different grape varietals, including Chardonnay and Cabernet Sauvignon. Winemaking in the Bekaa dates back to ancient times. The Roman temple of Bacchus, god of wine, dominates the 2,000-year-old ruins in the nearby town of Baalbek. The town is also one of Hezbollah's headquarters. And that may well have been the reason so much real estate here was chewed up by Israeli bombs.
They bombed also in front of us the chicken farm, yes. We were a little bit afraid because they are targeted the economic enterprises.
Chama points across the street, where a tangled jumble of concrete marks the remains of what used to be the chicken farm. And the war and its aftermath continue to keep tourists away. Normally, hundreds of them would be at Cassara at this time of year for wine tasting and tours of the ancient caves. A cavernous room of bamboo furniture, paneled walls, and a cozy fireplace stands empty. But the vineyard is back in business. At the back of the winery, two trucks dump huge piles of healthy-looking red and white grapes into an enormous stainless steel mixing machine. Cassara survived a war and a rushed harvest. But after all that, will it still yield a fine wine? Cassara's in-house French wine specialist, James Belger. It's too late to know if it's a good year, but usually when we have a late harvest, we have a good wine. If it continues to be hot like this during the whole harvest, it will be a good year. Hopefully, both the wine and the truce will hold up to the tests of time. In Zahale, Lebanon, I'm Ben Gilbert for Marketplace.
If you're on the go, take us with you. We're podcasting. Check out our website at marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Sometime next week, the 300 million